Chapter 67. Possibly have hit upon returning her interest at the rate of 7 or 8% in money and 50 at least in personal repute and credit. You needn't cry, Mix, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, herself in tears. You needn't be ashamed of it, though your poor mistress is on the same side. Apostrophe, Mix howled at this remark, in a peculiarly dismal way, and said she knowed that master hated her. That it was a dreadful thing, to live in families and have dislikes, and not give satisfactions. That to make divisions was a thing she could not abear to think of, neither could her feelings let her do it. That if it was master's wishes as she and him should part, it was best they should part, and she hoped he might be the happier for it, and always wished him well, and that he might find somebody as would meet his dispositions. It would be a hard trial, she said, to part from such a missus, but she could meet any suffering, when her conscience told her she was in the rights, and therefore she was willing, even to go that lengths. She did not think, she added, that she could long survive the separations, but, as she was hated and looked upon unpleasant, perhaps her dying, as soon as possible would be the best endings for all parties. With this affecting conclusion, Miss Mix shed more tears, and sobbed abundantly. Can you bear this, Varden? Apostrophe, apostrophe said his wife in a solemn voice, laying down her knife and fork. Why, not very well, my dear, apostrophe rejoined the locksmith, but I try to keep my temper. Apostrophe, don't let there be words on my account, mim, apostrophe sobbed Mix. It's much the best, that we should part. I wouldn't stay, oh, gracious me, and make dissensions, not for a annual gold mine, and found in tea and sugar. Apostrophe, lest the reader should be at any loss. To discover the cause of Miss Mick's deep emotion, it may be whispered apart that, happening to be listening, as her custom sometimes was, when Gabriel and his wife conversed together, she had heard the locksmith's joke relative to the foreign black who played the tambourine, and bursting with the spiteful feelings which the taunt awoke in her fair breast, exploded in the manner we have witnessed. Matters having now arrived at a crisis, the locksmith, as usual, and for the sake of peace and quietness, gave in. What are you crying for, girl? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said. What's the matter with you? What are you talking about hatred for? I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody. Dry your eyes, and make yourself agreeable, in heaven's name, and let us all be happy while we can. Apostrophe, the allied powers deeming it good generalship to consider this a sufficient apology on the part of the enemy, and confession of having been in the wrong, did dry their eyes, and take it in good part. Miss Mix observed that she bore no malice, no, not to her greatest foe, whom she rather loved the more indeed, the greater persecution she sustained. Mrs. Varden approved of this meek and forgiving spirit in high terms, and incidentally declared as a closing article of agreement that Dolly should accompany her to the Clerkenwell branch of the association that very night. This was an extraordinary instance of her great prudence and policy, having had this end in view from the first, and entertaining a secret misgiving that the locksmith, who was bold when Dolly was in question, would object. She had backed Miss Mix up to this point, in order that she might have him at a disadvantage. The maneuver succeeded so well that Gabriel only made a wry face, and with the warning he had just had fresh in his mind, did not dare to say one word. The difference ended, therefore, in Mix being presented with a gown by Mrs. Varden, and half a crown by Dolly, as if she had eminently distinguished herself in the paths of morality and goodness. Mrs. Five, according to custom, expressed her hope that Varden would take a lesson from what had passed, and learn more generous conduct for the time to come. And the dinner being now cold, and nobody's appetite very much improved by what had passed, they went on with it, as Mrs. Varden said, like Christians. Apostrophe, as there was to be a grand parade of the Royal East London Volunteers that afternoon, the locksmith did no more work, but sat down comfortably with his pipe in his mouth, and his arm round his pretty daughter's waist, looking lovingly on Mrs. Five. From time to time, and exhibiting from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, one smiling surface of good humor. And to be sure, when it was time to dress him in his regimentals, and Dolly, hanging about him in all kinds of graceful winning ways, helped to button and buckle, and brush him up, and get him into one of the tightest coats that ever was made by mortal tailor, he was the proudest father in all England. What a handy jade it is! ... said the locksmith to Mrs. Varden, who stood by with folded hands rather proud of her husband too, while Mix held his cap and sword at arm's length, as if mistrusting that the latter might run someone through the body of its own accord. But never marry a soldier, Doll, my dear. ... Dolly didn't ask why not, or say a word, indeed, but stooped her head down very low to tie his sash. I never wear this dress, ... said honest Gabriel, but I think of poor Joe Willet. I love Joe. He was always a favorite of mine. Poor Joe. Dear heart, my girl, don't tie me in so tight. ... Dolly laughed not like herself at all, the strangest little laugh that could be, and held her head down lower still. Poor Joe. ... resumed the locksmith, muttering to himself. I always wish he had come to me. I might have made it up between them, if he had. Ah! Old John made a great mistake in his way of acting by that lad, a great mistake. Have you nearly tied that sash, my dear? ... What an ill-made sash it was. There it was, loose again and trailing on the ground. Dolly was obliged to kneel down, and recommence at the beginning. Never mind young Willet, Varden, ... said his wife frowning. You might find someone more deserving to talk about, I think. ... Miss Mix gave a great sniff to the same effect. Nay, Martha, ... cried the locksmith, don't let us bear too hard upon him. If the lad is dead indeed, we'll deal kindly by his memory. ... A runaway and a vagabond. ... said Mrs. Varden. Miss Mix expressed her concurrence as before. A runaway, my dear, but not a vagabond, ... returned the locksmith in a gentle tone. He behaved himself well, did Joe always, and was a handsome manly fellow. Don't call him a vagabond, Martha. ... Mrs. Varden coughed, and so did Mix. He tried hard to gain your good opinion, Martha, I can tell you, ... said the locksmith smiling, and stroking his chin. Ah, that he did. It seems but yesterday, that he followed me out to the maypole door one night, and begged me not to say how like a boy they used him say here, at home, he meant, though at the time, I recollect, I didn't understand. And how's Miss Dolly, sir? Says Joe, ... pursued the locksmith, musing sorrowfully, ah, poor Joe, ... well, I declare, ... cried Mix, oh, goodness gracious me, ... what's the matter now, ... said Gabriel, turning sharply to her, why, if here and Miss Dolly, ... said the handmaid, stooping down to look into her face, giving way to floods of tears. Oh, Mim! Oh, sir! Raleigh, it's give me such a turn, ... cried the susceptible damsel, pressing her hand upon her side to quell the palpitation of her heart, that you might knock me down with a feather. ... The locksmith, after glancing at Miss Mix, as if he could have wished to have a feather brought straightway, looked on with a broad stare, while Dolly hurried away, followed by that sympathizing young woman. Then turning to his wife, stammered out, is Dolly ill? Have I done anything? Is it my fault? ... Your fault. ... cried Mrs. Five, reproachfully. There you had better make haste out. ... What have I done? ... said poor Gabriel. It was agreed that Mr. Edward's name was never to be mentioned, and I have not spoken of him, have I? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mrs. Varden merely replied that she had no patience with him, and bounced off after the other two. The unfortunate locksmith wound his sash about him, girded on his sword, put on his cap, and walked out. I am not much of a dab at my exercise, apostrophe he said under his breath, but I shall get into fewer scrapes at that work than at this. Every man came into the world for something. My department seems to make every woman cry without meaning it. It's rather hard. Apostrophe, but he forgot it, before he reached the end of the street, and went on with a shining face, nodding to the neighbors, and showering about his friendly greetings like mild spring rain. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.